Find yourself too busy, stressed out, and unfulfilled? Know what you are supposed to do, but have no idea how to fit it all in? Doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to Seamless Life with Alan Vaisberg, a program that shows you how to do all the things you know you're supposed to do. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you make your life seamless.
And from the Chicago studios, this is Alan Vaisberg reporting for Ohm Times Radio. All right, I've got my British accent out of the way. We can continue. Welcome, everybody, to Seamless Life. I am your host, who is having way too much fun already on a Wednesday evening, a beautiful, snowy Wednesday evening in Chicago. Does it snow where you are again? Because it certainly is snowing here. I love it, but driving in it is not much fun. So we on Seamless Life are trying to ascertain the notion of leading a life that is still busy, because we are very busy people who have work, who have responsibilities, who have things on their plate, pun intended apparently, for this particular show, but we want to do it properly. We want to do it well. We want to make sure that we're not just living our lives without living them consciously. So the topic for today is nutrition. It's how to actually take real food and join it to real life. We have, as usual, four segments. In the first segment, aside from me trying on different accents to see which one I like, we're setting up the show. And then we have, for two segments following, at 15 minutes past the hour, we're going to have our two guests for the day talking about nutrition. And we have the amazing Sullivan sisters. I love saying that. I'm not sure if they introduce themselves that way, but I love it. And they're going to show us how you can actually take your busy life and take real food and eat real food and cook no matter how busy you are, but actually eat stuff that's good for you. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to have them for two segments, and then we'll wrap up the show with more fun stuff, including a poem of the day, as you're so used to it. So what is the problem with nutrition? How can we figure out what is the right thing to eat? And just for fun, what I did is I jumped on to Amazon just to find out, you know, based on the bestsellers, what diets are there? And we see that number one is the Doctor's Diet Cookbook. Then we have the 10-Day Green Smoothie Diet. Then we have the Food Babe Diet, the Skinny Taste Cookbook, the 2020 Diet, and on and on and on. So then I continued my search just to find out how many diets are actually there. And I went to WebMD. WebMD lists, I think, about 50 or 60, it actually looks a little bit more than that, every possible diet, most of which I have never heard of, but they're all there. How should we eat? You know, looking through it, I saw some of the diets that I have tried. I've tried the, eat based on your blood type diet. I've tried the gluten-free diet. I've tried the raw foods diet. I've tried the Russian diet with 7-course breakfasts. I've tried many of them. And figuring out what works for your body is not easy. Compound that with the fact that you're actually working. And you're working and you're busy and you really don't have time to eat. We can say all we want about having a healthy breakfast, but most of us are probably eating on the run anyway. We're eating on the run, or we're eating in the car while we're on our way to work. So how can you eat? Because you're certainly not going to be eating something with a fork, so you need something to hang on to. As we've learned from all the commercials on television, that riding in a train, you have to have at least one hand busy. Otherwise, you end up on top of what looks like a Russian woman. I'm not sure why Russian is always around this show, but apparently it is. So it's not going to be healthy by definition, and that is a problem. And that's a problem that makes it difficult for many people, including myself. You know, I've mentioned trying all of these diets. I grew up in Russia, where the staple of nutrition was potato and chicken and lots of meat and lots of fish and many courses. And until you finish all of them, you are not leaving the table, as per my mother's recommendation. So that was not necessarily the healthiest diet out there. Lots of fat. And growing up, you burn lots of calories, your metabolism is high, so it wasn't necessarily a problem. As I started getting older, it became more of a problem. But thankfully, I got married and my wife took over that part of the responsibility. and took me away from the single life of eating Burger King basically every day, because it was there and it was quick and it smelled good and it tasted great and I could watch the game and I didn't have to worry about cooking. And my wife stumbled upon a book for raw foods and raw food diet. And she mentioned that to me, and I read it as well, and it made sense. We went to see a few presentations from some of the people who were advocating it, and we listened to the stories of diseases going away, and we thought, you know what, why not? Let's do it. So for 2.5 years, and this was about 12 years ago, for 2.5 years, my wife and I were on a raw foods diet, which, again, for those of you who are not familiar with it, on a scale of sanity, you have the quote-unquote normal people, although that is questionable. Then you have people who eat everything without meat. Then you have people who eat everything without fish. Then you have people who eat, who are vegetarians, and they add a few things into it. And then all the way on the bottom, although I think breatharians, who only survive by breathing, they may be below that. But on the bottom, you have raw foodists. Those are the people who do not eat anything that's processed, because we believe in enzymes, and anything that is killing the enzymes during the cooking process of heating the food over, I believe, 102 degrees Fahrenheit. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but it's approximately there. Then we don't eat it. So it was a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, a lot of nuts, and anything that you can make from there, which actually is quite a bit. And it was great. I loved it. But there was one little problem, is the fact that I went from 187 pounds to 147 pounds. Within a pretty short period of time. And for a 6-foot-tall man, 147 pounds, not so good. That basically made my parents not talk to me for the better period of 2 years, because they were so concerned. The doctors were not concerned at all, because based on all of the tests, I actually had a doctor say to me that your cholesterol is good enough to go into space. I remember myself playing tennis during that time, and I had so much energy. I could play tennis for 2 hours, and the person playing against me would need to take frequent breaks, need to drink some water. They would be out of breath. I would not need any of that, and after the tennis, I can go and run a mile after it because I had so much energy. My allergy disappeared. I was very allergic to cats. If I was in a place with cats, my lungs would start basically closing up, and within a half an hour. That went away. So it was great, but I just looked terrible. And then we decided to get pregnant, and we didn't want to necessarily play with it. So we gradually built back up to a more of the conventional diet. And we've been on that with different gluten-free variations to it. We've done some ELISA testing. For those of you who are not familiar with ELISA, it's testing allergies based on blood. And they would tell you what you're allergic to, not just the things that you show as allergic to, but a lot of the stuff that goes unnoticed by the conventional tests. And that's when I saw that I shouldn't be eating certain foods. I've tried the blood type diet, eat right for your blood type, and that didn't necessarily seem to jive with me. So it was always a question of, with these many diets, with the type of life that we're leading, what is it that would be the right thing for me? And I can't say that I fully found that either. I know how to control my weight pretty well. I know me. So what is the right way of doing it? What is the right food? Is there a right food? Just because I would be eating fruits and vegetables, am I adding enough? Because we're looking at alkaline versus acidic. We're looking at, am I getting enough greens? What is the proper percentage of the greens versus proteins? Which proteins are okay? Should I be eating meat? is red meat not okay, but is fish okay? Well, some fish may be okay, but fish may not be okay because fish has mercury in it. Well, what amount of mercury is okay? And then who do you listen to? This whole process became very, very complicated. So I am really looking forward to talking to Megan and Shannon Sullivan to find out what they have seen in their practice, how they are helping people in order to actually eat real food and to mix that in with real life. So those were some of the things that were important for me to mention as we're talking about diets. And I know your experience is different from mine, but I am sure that for the majority of us, we are somewhat confused. You know, we know that we're supposed to eat proteins, we're supposed to eat carbohydrates. My wife just went through training. She's a group fitness instructor. And a part of that training was talking about nutrition and how you're supposed to carb load before training. And I always found that funny because carb load, in my opinion, is eating some pasta. Well, eating some pasta and then working out, I did that a few days ago. I played tennis after eating buckwheat with fish. And that was the only time in my life when I ever felt drunk. I don't drink alcohol, so I don't exactly know what that feels like, but that probably was the closest to me feeling drunk because my head was a little off. I was not feeling myself because the food was still in the system. So technically, for those people who know what they're talking about right now, would say that, well, buckwheat is actually protein and fish is protein. So you weren't carbo-loading, you were having complex proteins, and you shouldn't do that. I agree. But the idea of eating pasta before working out still doesn't work for me. So many, many questions that people are asking themselves of what is the proper way to eat? What is that nutrition? What is that diet that we should be focusing on? And that is something that we'll tackle right after our break. When we come back, we'll get the amazing Sullivan sisters to help us out. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Feed your soul, feed it. It leads quite nicely into our discussion of the day, which deals with food. And I wanted to welcome to the show the amazing Sullivan sisters, Shannon and Megan Sullivan. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us on, Alan.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I've been reading about you now, both of you, and it's very interesting to me of how to actually do that, how to take the real food with real life, and we'll get into that in just a second. But for those people who aren't as familiar with you as I am at this moment, can you give us a little bit of a background on your experiences and how you came to do real food with real life?
Absolutely. So this is Meg, and we sound pretty much the same. So we'll have to announce each other. But you know, I actually started off with a career in corporate America, and I was there for 5 years as a CPA, and I worked in a very difficult job that was really client deadline driven. And so there were a lot of late nights and a lot of early mornings. And unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of time to, quote unquote, eat healthy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the meals were brought in by the company. And as somebody who was a former gymnast and a former dancer and a former athlete, it was a terrible way of eating. I didn't feel good. I was drinking a lot of caffeine, I had a lot of sugar, I was eating a lot of processed food, and I just knew that this wasn't the way for me. I had the opportunity a little bit later in that career to get out and transition to what was really my passion, which was Pilates. And so I became a certified Pilates instructor and had a small post-rehabilitative practice. So in that practice, I was working with clients that had, you know, had a knee replacement or a hip replacement or had severe arthritis, and we use Pilates as a way to help them with their movement. And I found that the movement piece of it was truly part of the puzzle, and they really had great success with Pilates. But then the food or the nutrition part of the puzzle was something that was very important, but that I didn't have all the knowledge for. So that's where I started my interest with cooking and eating healthier. And I reached out to this great network that I had and found that through putting some people on elimination diets or anti-inflammatory diets that they had great progress. And so the combination of the movement plus changing the way that they were eating improved their health and their movement and their happiness and the way that they were feeling dramatically. And so that's how I started off getting an interest into this world.
Very cool. And you, Shannon?
I actually had a very similar background to Megan. I was in corporate America for just around 5 years as well, and working really late hours, depending on caffeine and energy drinks to make it through one of those long work days. And I realized that I had just lower energy than a lot of my peers. And I later came to realize that when you eat crap, you feel like crap. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I was eating was basically crap. I would bounce back and forth between making it a week, drinking green juice and being totally on one side of the spectrum. And then the next week it would be too much and I'd be eating deep dish pizza. I'm from Chicago. That's what we do.
Absolutely, especially in this weather.
Exactly. So I realized that I was eating crap, and that's fine when you can identify the type of food that is crap. But there's a lot of food out there that's masquerading as health food. Mm-hmm. That is also just horrible, full of all the kinds of processed ingredients. So in the super busy times at work, you just didn't care. You relied on the food that was brought in. But once I really started researching what I should be eating, I experimented with those types of foods, and I felt a lot better. And I eventually weaned myself off of the coffee, weaned myself off of sugar, which is another big trigger, and cut out energy drinks altogether. So this taught me that it is possible to combine real food when you know what it is and when you know what to do with it without living and working on an organic farm. So while I was working those long hours in corporate America, I started gradually introducing real food and eliminated the ping pong game of being healthy on one extreme over here, and then going back to ordering out 5 nights a week the next week. So I became much more stable when it came to my food choices. And I found that you don't really know how good you can feel unless you ditch all the processed stuff. And when you know the right way to do that, it's a lot easier than people think.
Very true. And by the way, you don't need to order out. There is always DiGiorno, right?
Or Giordano's in the freezer aisle. Yes, of course.
Giordano's is in the freezer aisle? Seriously?
Oh my gosh. Alan, so is Lou Malnati's. It's Let's not go there though.
Well, it's you know, that brings back lots of memories because you know, coming at the age of 14, I didn't really know what pizza was because there when I where I came from, there was no pizza. And then I really didn't care about pizza until I started working for Giordano's delivering pizza. And then as a form of payment at the end of every night, you have a free personal pan pizza. And I started really liking pizza, and that was the beginning. So Giordano's is to blame for my pizza addiction. So you kept on saying real food, and I guess that's one of my questions, and other people may be thinking the same thing. What is real food, or at least the way that you define it?
So I can take this. This is Shannon again.
Okay.
Real food is a whole food, and what we mean by whole food is food in its natural state.
Got it.
So you'll find that produce very often in its natural state, a head of lettuce, an apple, a banana. That's whole food or real food. It's intact with all of the vitamins, minerals, fiber, and other nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the healthiest form rather than the bits of whole food or real food that remain after refinement and processing when we go to restaurants or buy prepackaged foods. A really easy way to identify whole foods are that they don't have ingredient labels because there's no need. There's one ingredient.
Yep.
That's it. They're great because they contain the natural synergy of all of the nutrients together, which is more powerful than when you have enriched foods like different breakfast cereals or even pasta now. The nutrients are removed and then added back in or sold in supplemental form. And when we buy processed foods, many of the nutrients are removed during manufacturing. So whole food is just the real food with one ingredient. And it's usually in the produce section. Usually doesn't have price tags or ingredient labels.
Very interesting. So that, you know, in terms of the quote-unquote the balanced diet approach, then how do we deal with proteins?
So proteins can still come from whole foods or real foods.
Right.
Quinoa is one of the most popular grain seeds out there right now, and that's loaded with protein. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking animal protein, you would just want to go after high quality. And you buying a piece of meat from a butcher is going to be better than you going to the frozen aisle and buying chicken nuggets. So sure. There's even levels within the animal protein side of things.
That makes sense. And I know, Shannon, doing research on your background, I know that you do a lot of continuing education on the nutrition side. And I don't have the exact number, but I think you're familiar with over 200 different types of diets. Is that correct?
Yes. So there's modern nutrition.
Okay.
And I've studied postmodern nutrition, which is just the latest and greatest, the set, like you were mentioning, all the dietary theories and the diet books out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's postmodern nutrition.
Got it.
And the education that I received covered well over 100 different dietary theories and explained that there is merit and value to all of those dietary theories, but they work for some people and they don't work for others. And that's a combination of bioindividuality. That's a combination of how extreme or how difficult the diets are to follow,
mm-hmm.
how willing people are to follow all the rules, and the time and effort that they want to put into them.
Yes. Well, I'm sure people are so interested in putting in the effort until they get sick, and then everybody is interested. And you know, we're obviously putting everybody in that same bucket, including myself. I noticed the dramatic weight loss, which was wonderful diet mechanism, when I got sick on vacation, and after not eating for about a week, I dropped a lot of weight, and it was great until I started eating again. So it's all about how committed we are to the actual process. So how do we figure out, or how do you figure out within your practice, what would be the right thing for a particular person?
Well, and go ahead, Meg.
I was going to say, essentially, whatever works for you is what is sustainable. And I always go back to the word diet, which comes from the Greek, it's of Greek origin, and it actually means way of life or way of eating.
Okay.
And so often in today's society, we think of a diet as something that has a start date and a finite end. And I think we need to change that a little bit and think more in the terms of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we can sustain. Now, that being said, Shannon can take the exact food piece of that, but I always look for a way of eating that somebody can sustain.
Makes perfect sense. And actually, yeah, the way of life, looking at it, would be a appropriate way because, again, going back to my experience when I was on the raw foods, there is no way to be around other people without them asking, don't you want to eat this? And the answer was no. Because once you make that decision that this is not something that I eat, it's not about craving. It's about, well, that's your toy. It's not mine. I'm totally fine with it. So I can be around you and it doesn't bother me at all. So it is a way of life. It is a change in perception and how we deal with it.
Absolutely.
Very cool. All right. So we talked about the different type of diets, whether it's modern or postmodern. We're going to pick up on that after the break, but just quickly, is there a particular diet or two diets that you feel are really good for people to investigate?
This is Shannon. Generically speaking, I would say the whole food diet, which is marketed. There's a Whole 30 program out there.
Okay.
As close as you can get to the natural source, that's the best way of eating.
Perfect. And we'll continue that right after the break. Please stay with us on Seamless Life Radio.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
The Laying Out of Hands Healing Radio Show is about treating the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. Join me, Charles Smith, as I share life balancing measures such as nutrition and spiritual practices to help you take charge of your own health and wellness every Thursday at 7 p.m. on Om Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Simone Milicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
The Conscious Parenting Radio Show provides inspiration and resources for loving, empowering, and respecting your children and yourself. Join me, Timothy, every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we consciously explore proven ways of living together in happiness, health, and harmony.
The Real Conscious Connection,
OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back to Seamless Life with Ellen Vaisberg. I am your host, Ellen Vaisberg. Now it sounds like Austin Powers. I'll allow myself to introduce myself. All right, so we're talking about nutrition. We're talking about whole foods and real foods and how not to eat crap. I mean, that's basically what it is, right? We're all trying to eat well while still realizing that we live in a very busy world. And I'm speaking with the amazing Sullivan sisters. I think we need to coin that term. Now, am I the... You know, maybe I'm just thinking about it that way, but am I the first one who's used it?
Sadly, no.
Good, good. Okay, so have you coined it already? Is this trademark? Do I need to pay royalties on using it?
Well, Ellen, we even have one more.
I know. Three of us. Three sisters, that's true.
One's a nurse, so we're all focused on the same thing, but we have been referred to as the Sullivan sisters.
The amazing Sullivan sisters. I think that's the part that we need to make sure that it's a part of the branding. So right before the break, Shannon was mentioning the type of diet or the name of the diet that would come closest to what you would recommend. Can we circle back to that and expand on it?
Yes, of course. So whole foods or real foods, I think, should be the main staple of any diet that you do. And there is such a wide variety that I think when you get down to the actual specifics of what your body is going to benefit from the most, it depends on individuality.
Right.
And I don't mean to cop out by saying that, but what I mean is that I think that instead of globbing on to the next big thing or the next most enticing shiny object that makes promises that might not be realistic, we need to stop and really get into tune with what our body needs at that point in our life. Mm-hmm. Like, to go back to your example, the raw food that worked for you in some capacity for 2 years,
right,
then your life changed and you changed along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get in tune with our body about what is needed and what works best, I think you can get a little bit more specific. But as long as your foundation is real food, I think you'll be much better off than the rest of America that's still operating on what we call SAD, the standard American diet.
I know. It's such a great acronym. I like it so very much. Now, it seems like, and please correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, but it seems like when we're talking about whole foods in your definition, then the staple of the diet is mostly fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts. We're not talking about animal protein. Am I correct or incorrect there?
Well, animal protein, like I said, it definitely benefits certain types of people. Certain types of people avoid it for different reasons, and it serves their body that way.
Sure.
But as long as it's high quality animal protein, I think that there's a place for it in people's diets.
Got it. Okay, that's a fair statement. And again, people will know themselves whether it works for them or not. You know, for me, for instance, I don't eat red meat. That's just not something that I do. It's not because I don't like the taste of it. It's just, it's not me. So when I eat animal protein, it's fish, it's chicken on occasion. It is whatever it is. So people have to figure out what works for them. Now, coming to the other end of the spectrum there, we talked about the food. I really want to talk about how to merge our reality of the busy life with the food. How can we eat whole foods? Now, I understand, you know, grabbing an apple or grabbing a banana and eating it while you're driving, but what are some of the strategies that work for you and your clients in terms of cooking foods and actually living the busy life that we normally live?
Well, this is Meg, and a huge part of that is developing the life skill of food preparation.
Okay.
And a lot of times people don't realize it's not that difficult. You don't have to go to a cooking school. You don't necessarily need cooking lessons. Food preparation with whole foods is not hard. The other strategy that works really well is actually planning time to prepare your food. And I think that that's something in America that we've kind of gotten away from, because we have these really busy schedules and we don't have a lot of time, and it's so much easier to reach for that prepared meal or just stop by and get that takeout. But that's not the best thing for your body.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two key strategies that I speak to clients about. And it's, to recap, it's, you know, learning the life skill of food preparation, and then also finding time in your schedule. And it has to be a priority.
So time management is obviously something that that becomes imperative in this process.
Absolutely. But there's shortcuts that you can do. You know, we have certain programs with our clients where we'll provide the recipes and we'll provide the grocery list. And all they have to do is go to the grocery store, follow the grocery list, and then they can prepare those meals in around the 30-minute mark. You know, there's certain meals that you can do. Crock-pot meals are so easy. You can literally dump the ingredients in. It takes you maybe 5 minutes in the morning. And in the evening, you have a delicious, healthy meal. So that's another workaround. We have a term in our business that we call multi-meals. And that's where you're preparing several meals at once. So it may take you 45 minutes or an hour, but you know that you can jump to those meals if you're in a bind, or if you have a late night, or if you have a busy day, those meals are already prepared. So there's a lot of those little tips and tricks and strategies that are not rocket science, but that can have a huge impact on how well you're eating at home.
Makes perfect sense. When you're talking about multi-meals, the first thought was lasagna, of course, and that's not where you were going with it.
Well, that idea, but not exactly that food.
Yeah. I remember lasagna, and then we went to Rome, and when we talked to them about lasagna, they're like, lasagna? Really? That's what mom makes on Friday when she just scrapes whatever food is left into that. Oh, okay. So that's what lasagna means to you guys. Okay, got it. So based on the preparation and based on what you were mentioning on how long it takes, I think microwave is something that you may not use very often, if at all. Am I correct?
We try not to. you know, I will say there are certain foods when you're really in a bind, you know, something like spaghetti squash can take you 10 minutes in the microwave. So I would rather have you eat that spaghetti squash that took you 10 minutes in the microwave rather than go out and pick up takeout or go out and make a poor or unhealthy food selection choice. So, we use the term good, better, best.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to meet people where they are,
right?
And then try and elevate them to the next level. And that's going to be different for everybody. But ultimately, the theme is that you want improvement.
Very true. And so meeting me where I am, I love ice cream. So what is the whole food version of ice cream? Preferably butter pecan.
Megan had a perfect recipe just the other day on our blog for ice cream.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going there. Now, to be fair, I have a Vitamix and I can blend ice cream. I know I can. All the dressings, I make dressing myself, and I continued doing that through my raw food days, and I took that afterwards. So I know how to make the ice cream, but I guess I've just never made it because it was so much easier just to take it out of the freezer and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your favorite meals? I know you've mentioned, doing a crack pot, which is very nice because that's, again, real food for real life. You don't have to worry about the timing aspect of it. What are some of the other things that you found very useful?
Well, I can start. This is Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
I cut out meat from my diet, I think it's about 4 years ago at this point. So I have this amazing kale salad with Granny Smith apples and red onion and shredded cabbage with a balsamic honey mustard vinaigrette that, hands down, it's less than 10 ingredients. Mm-hmm. It takes me 10 minutes to prepare. And because the kale is so rigid, it'll last in the refrigerator even after you dress it for up to 4 days.
Wow.
So that is my hands down go-to. Great to have on hand. You feel light and airy after eating it, and it's really easy to prepare.
Perfect. And Meg, how about you?
I have a really simple turkey chili that is my go-to meal. I always have the ingredients on hand, and I will confess that, yes, I do use some canned beans. But it's something that's really simple. And like I said, the ingredients are always on hand. And if I'm in a bind or if I'm in a rush or I'm having a really busy day, I know that I can just make that turkey chili and it's not going to take a lot of time and it's going to be something that everybody's going to eat. And again, going back to that good, better, best, yes, it would be much better if I soaked the beans and prepared the beans. But sometimes we don't have that time, and that's where the real food plus the real life factor comes in, that it's better than the takeout or it's better than a frozen meal.
Perfect. Well, ladies, this has been fascinating. I really, really appreciate it. And wanted to make sure that we know how to get in touch with you. Where do we go?
So you can head on over to www.wholefoodlove.com, and we have a newsletter sign up. So you can either follow the blog there or sign up for all of our tips and tricks, and we send that out once a week.
Perfect. Any last thoughts, any recommendations that you would give to our audience in terms of real food for real life?
Try to make one up level, make one conscious decision where you're improving your choice. And if you do that even just once a week, you're still making a difference.
Very cool. And is there, you know, since we have a few more moments before the break, is there a particular, you know, weight loss for those people that want to lose weight? What would be a healthy target for a weight loss for them, let's say for a month?
Well, I have found that one of the most effective ways to lose weight is come from a position not of deprivation and cutting items out of your diet, but seriously, instead switching your focus to what can I add in. And leafy greens, hands down, are the healthiest thing and the most lacking that we can add into our diets. So to set a goal for yourself, I'm going to have 1 cup of leafy greens a day, will actually switch your mindset and make it much easier to lose weight.
Very, very cool. Well, it's really been a pleasure. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Your turkey chili really made me feel hungry. So I'm going to, I will try not to break my own rule of not eating late, because it's coming up on close to 9 o'clock in Chicago. But I will make that a point tomorrow to make some turkey chili for myself. And then I'll make a salad with it. Ladies, thank you. Thank you so much. We'll have your information on our site. And I recommend for everybody to come and talk to you about real food in real life.
Thank you. Thanks, Alan.
Everybody else, please stay with us. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Seamless Life. I am your host, Ellen Weisberg, and I just really enjoyed talking to the amazing Sullivan sisters. Yes, from now on until forever, I will be calling them this way. Shannon and Megan Sullivan. You can find their information on wholefoodlove.com. And hopefully sign up. There are lots of tips. I definitely want to go and check out the blog entry about the ice cream, see if I can replicate and make my, I guess, good food addiction a healthy one and a whole one at that. In terms of some of the advices that I wanted to relay from my personal experience, there are many different diets, and we talked about that. And you have to find out what really works for you. What I find that works for me in terms of maintaining my ideal weight, if we can call it like that, which fluctuates from 5 to 10 pounds, depending on whether I follow my own rules or not. But here are the things that work for me, and these are things that I would recommend. Eat lots of fruits and vegetables. You know, make that a staple in your diet. And we're talking about whole foods, and do that. It's fun, they're fresh, they're full of life and enzymes, and it's much better than grabbing some, you know, sweets from the chocolate aisle, even though I love chocolate as well, and I have it all over my house. For me, I take the fruit before I reach for the chocolate, and then I follow it up with the chocolate, of course, after. So eat your fruits and vegetables. Eat breakfast. Many of us are running out. Make time for breakfast. From what I've noticed, at least based on my own body and my experience, is that if I get into it when I'm teaching a class or I'm in front of people or I'm with somebody providing information, it's hard because you're exerting a lot of energy. And for you to exert that energy without having that energy available is not good. So the first thing that I do when I wake up is I drink water. And we didn't talk about water, which is shame on me for not asking the sisters that question. But I drink lots of water. I carry a water bottle with me all the time when I'm in the office. You know, I'm holding my water bottle right now, as a matter of fact. And water is something that I drink. I've noticed that as soon as I wake up, I drink water. And I drink, you know, 10 to 12 sips. So I go throughout the whole day drinking water. And that's what I've noticed. We don't drink enough water. We don't eat breakfast. So if I don't drink the water and if I don't eat breakfast, I feel different. It's not really about what I eat for breakfast, because there are, you know, many things that we can talk about here, but eating breakfast, not eating late. You know, I've mentioned that. I feel, you know, very comfortable right now. If I were to go and eat right after the show, then obviously you're going to pack on the pounds because I'm going to go to sleep in an hour. I am not going to work out. And that's another thing. We're talking about the time. It's so ironic the way that we work within our schedules, because we have to eat at certain times. Well, who said that we have to eat at certain times? I know that when we're at work, you know, we have our normal quote-unquote lunchtime between 12 to 1. It doesn't have to be that way. You should eat when your body is telling you that you should be eating. And if you're snacking throughout the day, that can be different. There is no set rule to it. The only rule that I set is I try not to eat late. For me, not eating late means after 7. Because then you can get into all sorts of problems. If you have a set schedule, and then let's say that you want to exercise. Well, I can't exercise at 7 if I ate at 6. Well, then you don't exercise, and you're going to ruin the whole point. Figure out other things within your life, because nutrition is extremely important, but other things around your healthy lifestyle are also integral to it. If you want to be successful, you need to work out, you need to meditate, you need to get fresh air, sunshine, all the things that we're talking about. So nutrition is a part of that. The way for me to lose weight, I found, is fairly simple. I cut down on the carbs, I cut down on pasta, I cut down on breads. I lose weight. So for me to lose weight and get down, if I'm higher than I want to be, it's I stop eating late, I get rid of the carbs, I take out some of the ice creams that I love, and sometimes I eat sorbets instead of those. And then I started losing weight. It is my body, my experience. Yours may be very different, but some of these things you can apply. Another thing that I wanted to mention that's important is the way that you're thinking about the process. Because we, after we go on a quote-unquote diet, the diet is restrictive in nature usually. And the restriction comes with a very negative psychological connotation. So when we are restricting ourselves, we are not happy about the process. We have a certain goal that we're moving towards. Let's say that we're trying to make our weight, or we want to reduce the amount of fat that we're consuming, whatever it is. But you have to change and make sure that along with that, and I think Meg was talking about that, you have to make sure that diet is not just something that's restrictive. It is a way of life. It is the way that you are eating. And if you are eating something that, quote unquote, you're not supposed to eat, make sure that you're not killing yourself over it. Enjoy what you eat, right? So if I'm eating my ice cream, I know it's not the best thing for me. And certainly on the schedule of good, better, great, I'm not sure that it's even good category. So I'm eating something that definitely is not good, but I love it. I love it. So when eating it, I'm not going to tell myself, oh, you're doing this bad thing for your body. It's a disservice. Because energetically speaking, psychologically speaking, you are doing a great disservice to your body. So if you choose to eat something that brings you happiness, and we have many foods associated with that based on our upbringing and experiences. For me, I will love, certain things that I grew up with. And then you will do the same. It doesn't matter necessarily if they're the best thing for you, but if these foods or if this particular intake brings you pleasure, then enjoy it. Enjoy eating it. Enjoy drinking it. We're talking about water. Obviously, I'm not a huge fan of caffeine. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink alcohol, as I mentioned. But if you are drinking wine, enjoy it. Don't think that it's bad for you. So a lot of that really has to be put in. If you want to be healthy, you have to think healthy. Healthy thoughts are just as important as the food that you're putting in your body. That's not taking nutrition out of it at all. I don't mean that you can eat pizza every day, enjoy it, and not see the consequences. That's taking it out of proportion. There has to be a balance. That balance has to be the one that you find that works for you. So I agree wholeheartedly, pun intended apparently again, with the whole. I agree with the strategy. You have to enjoy what you're doing. You have to look at what you're eating. You should switch. I say you have to. Again, it's your choice, but that would be a recommendation. You should switch to something that makes you feel good. And you know what foods make your body feel good and which ones do not. It's simple. It's not difficult. As somebody who I greatly respect, Shawn Duperin, says so often in her seminars, it's not that deep. We can look at all of the diets that are available, but after eating this, it makes your body feel good. After eating that, it makes your body feel bad. I didn't have to take an allergy test to find out that eating a particular dark chocolate made me really sick after it. I don't know what was in it exactly. I tried to look up the ingredients. I just know that eating that, I'm not doing that again. I know that when I smell liver, I'm not eating it because it evokes a certain reaction within me. Many people love liver, including everybody in my family. For me, nope, it's not my food. So you have to listen to your body, and that's what it's really about. Listen to your body, follow good principles, and you should be able to be in a good state. I promised you a poem of the day, and we're talking about nutrition. We're talking about all these diets. You may be still thinking that you don't know what you should be eating, and this didn't provide as much information in detail as you wanted. So let's just take a breath. And the poem that I'm about to read is that. It's called Take a Breath. Every day is filled with choices. What to eat, very appropriate, or how to dress. Everywhere we turn, our voices redefining our success. Heads are full of information. Thoughts are flying at high speeds, adding only to frustration of not getting what we need. We are horses and the riders, and we're racing way too fast. If we don't remove the blinders and slow down, we will not last. Just relax and do not hurry. A few times daily, take a breath. Give that cloud of constant worry enough time so it can pass. Even though we won't admit it, we're not really made of steel. It's okay to rest a minute. Go ahead. See how you feel. So take a breath. I mean that literally and figuratively speaking. When you're at work or when you're at home, get some fresh air. You want to be hungrier? Go outside and walk around. Grab something to eat with you. Grab a whole food. Grab some fruits or vegetables. Walk around. Listen to the birds chirping. Get the stress out of your body. We stress eat all the time, and you're just compounding the problem. There is no need for that. We can know all of the strategies, but if we're pissed off at the world when we're eating, then all of that is going to the word of the day, which is crap. And that's not really where it should be going. Okay, there is a joke in there, but I'm going to go past it. My suggestion to everybody is keep it simple. When we think of diet, we're thinking restrictive. When we're thinking of restrictive, we're thinking we're not going to do it. It's not meant to be that way. Keep things simple. Simplify your diet. Enjoy what you're eating. Listen to your body. Let your body be your guide. When your body is talking, make sure that you're paying attention. And you know how it's talking. By me thinking about certain foods, I feel already the reaction in the body. And I'm sure you do the same. So on this first conversation about food, I wish to bid you adieu, have a wonderful evening, and we'll continue our journey on Seamless Life.